Welcome to My Happy Defender Childhood. This week, I'm recording from the chaos of my podcasting course. Yeah, you can hear that, can't you? This week, I have... Well, first, we'll be introducing AVP, an episode that we're doing as a segue into our next big announcement. We're announcing this from here because we're doing a whole bunch of different things, changing up the format a little bit. First, we're going to keep releasing every other week for now. But if you go to our website, we will be splitting off from the main feed all of our movies from the other side project. But on the other hand, we also are going to start a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/myopia, where you can get everything. At this point, if you go, you can get all of our back episodes separated out from Mission Briefing, the regular back catalog. Just remember to split off, and if you want to subscribe just to it, you can, but it will eventually be behind the paywall. And then ultimately, we will, if we get 250 people, or $250 worth a month, rather, then we will start doing Myopia mornings again, which is great. It's exciting. At the moment, for each of the lower tiers, the Mission Briefing, the back catalog, and our extra episode a month people, we will each get one bonus episode that's already up, which means if you're at one of those higher tiers, you'll get three full back episodes. With this in mind, thanks for your support over the years. The last 6 years, thousands of you have subscribed and reviewed, and that's all great. Now, if you're able to donate even a couple bucks a month, you'll be able to support us long into the future. So, all that to say, Myopia Defend Your Childhood will exist as Myopia Podcast long into the future. Find us on Patreon, find us everywhere it's sold, and please keep sharing and reviewing and participating in our social network because, frankly, it really does help us. Thanks, guys. Welcome to Myopia Defend Your Childhood. This week, we are, well, starting things a little bit differently. As you guys know, if you've been listening regularly, we have started with Patreon-exclusive content. You'll notice before long, we're going to be coming out with our normal full slate of content because, well, I guess we got bored with doing one every other week. But on top of that, we're going to do a slew of Patreon movies, including starting off with our series. We like series. You guys seem to like when we do movie series. And in the can already and going to come out this month is Alien, the first one. Ridley Scott, right? Mm-hmm. And then Jim Cameron does the second one. David Finch does the third.
David Fincher, yes.
Fincher.
Yes, David Finch.
His bird equivalent.
Atticus Finch is a Hollywood brother.
And then finally, we're going to do them all. Covenant and...
Resurrection.
Pray for us.
And Prometheus. Oof. Which I think will be a discussion worth having because it is the driest toast we've ever had. In order to kind of whet your appetite. Moisten your appetite. We're going to do AVP. And then at the end of the series, we're going to do AVP 2:Requiem _ the one that's weird, right? That's the idea. Yeah.
Underscore the let's drop an atomic bomb in a town in Colorado and hope no one notices.
There's been several horror movies that have ended that way.
Well, and I believe that one also has Rickety Cricket from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's a real mess.
The second you said that, I just pictured the theme and then the gang meets the Predator.
You know what? Better movie.
Yeah.
Much better movie.
Would the Predator view any of them as worthy kills, though?
Frank, probably.
No, what it would be is Dennis and Charlie arguing who's the better, like, who's more worthy, and then it would be Frank, right? Like, that's the episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, for things that we'll eventually get to, I assume, you know, what, 8 episodes? 6 episodes? How many are these? 6?
There's 4 in the original series. There's 2 of these, and then there's 8.
Okay. And 2 will be regular episodes, and 6 will be special episodes for Patreon only. And along the way, we'll be incorporating some of our old shows like we talked about. So, you know, stay tuned for that. And, you know, we'll give this whole network thing a try. ESO was good to us, but we thought we could split out on our own, and this is our shot to do that. And with that, we decided to, I guess, ruin our Fridays by talking about Alien versus Predator, first one, the one with the alien and the predator, and Ancient Aliens, and a lot of worthlessness.
And one of the cast members of Trainspotting.
Because it's a Danny Boyle movie?
Oh, please.
Danny Boyle's Predator?
Better movie.
But in this one, the music of AC/DC doesn't exist. But one person, a predator, remembers AC/DC and becomes a huge success.
That would be interesting, like if MC Hammer never existed, so somebody does that.
Yeah, well, it's, first of all, that's a Mad TV sketch, and the world is the same.
Yeah, basically.
Someone get me my parachute pants.
All right. Mm. It's Motley Crue, but there's no sex tape. Like,
oh, boy. You know, the most interesting thing about yesterday was the fact that Coca-Cola doesn't exist in this new world. The implications of that alone are staggering.
I mean, is Atlanta a thing?
Exactly. I don't know.
Is it a larger Delta hub? There's also no cigarettes or no smoking. It's something like that, right?
Something like that, I think.
I mean, you want to talk about a forgettable movie. What, my God. Now, is it worse than Across the Universe?
Across the Universe is better than Yesterday.
Is it worse than this movie?
No.
Okay.
It's not.
You had to think about that for a minute.
Yeah. So let's talk. Matt, it's been a while. Do you want to give the synopsis?
Sure.
Oh, we haven't even introduced ourselves. Sorry. I'm Nick Hoffman's host of Myopia Defend Your Childhood. We're 4 minutes in. I'm Riffer on Cineprov and kind of tall. And on panel, we've got...
fantasy author Matthew W. Quinn. Check out my new book, Battle for the Wastelands.
Hello, this is Daniel. I do occasional columns for popdose.com, and I had my money on ALF.
Isn't your newest book Little People, Big Guns?
No, that came out in November. Battle for the Wastelands came out at the end of December.
Hey, there you go. Hey, he's got a twofer. Track him down.
Yeah.
So, with this in mind...
The man for all seasons, be it, you know, action comedy or war.
Who, the Predator?
Action comedy and war.
Lance Hendrickson. So, Matt, why don't you give us the plot synopsis of this movie?
Okay. The long-awaited meeting has come at last, to quote Darth Vader from the Rebels show. That which has been the subject of many video games and paperback tie-in novels and whatnot has happened. The alien is going to confront the Predator. And it happens here on Earth in roughly the present day. They said 2004 in the movie,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, the present day of 2004.
Yeah, where they still have VHS players. And so basically, there's a heat bloom over Antarctica that Wayland, that sounds a lot nice and sinister and familiar for y'all, detects with their satellites. And it turns out that Antarctica was the site of a temple where the predators would breed aliens using humans to hunt them on Earth.
Right.
So a team of expendable redshirt archaeologists come to investigate just when a bunch of young predators, who I think are on their first hunt, show up. And trouble ensues. Lots of trouble. Trouble down in Frozen City.
Okay, so you've already described for me the first two major issues with this whole movie.
Yeah.
Predators kill beefcakes. Whether it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is it?
It's Danny Glover in the second one.
Yeah, Danny Glover.
And Gary Busey's in the second one too, isn't he?
I think so. I only saw the second one maybe once a long time ago.
Maybe instead of AVP. Oh, we got to do AVP because we're doing the Aliens movies. But the second one is definitely a stay tuned, isn't it?
Yeah, because we did the first one a while ago.
Yeah, we did.
Which was a great episode. It's up there with Commando was a good one, too. We need to do more Arnold stuff. Have you seen Eraser? Eraser's good.
I'd like to do Eraser.
Yeah.
A very long time ago.
That was my first R movie.
Mine was, my first R movie was probably Blues Brothers. My first R in theater was Air Force One. One of those is an episode that we've done. Another one I don't think we could do. It's 2.5 hours long, and it's a comedy. It's weird enough as it is, and
it's one of the all-time great comedies ever made.
Yeah, unless you ask Thomas Herman. Don't listen to Geekly Oddcast. I mean, listen to Geekly Oddcast.
He doesn't like the Blues Brothers?
He does not. Weird, huh?
Oh, wow.
So you know this movie's off to a good start when it is released the day after... Well, it's released internationally before it's released in the United States. So we're off to a good start. But what I was saying is the big problem is there's no Carl Weathers, there's no beefcakes, there's no like ripped big dudes. And Alien is essentially a working class horror movie. Mm-hmm. They're truckers. They're just, or miners or whatever, right?
Right.
And here they just are scientists. Who cares about killing scientists?
Well, I did like the fact that the movie had a black protagonist, which, I mean, even in the first one, Yaphet Kotto was... fodder.
Yeah, he was engineering.
Yeah. And
kind of mouthy comic relief, wasn't he? Just griping about his money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically. he did a good job with it, but there was really not a whole lot to that character. And even in Aliens, it's the Sarge is the token minority character, and then there's no one else really.
Wasn't it Ruiz? What's her name?
Vasquez.
Vasquez. But yeah, I don't disagree. Like, this movie's kind of, well, I mean, it's Waylon earning his stripes, right? Because as a billionaire, if you haven't sent scientists to their doom, are you really a billionaire?
I don't know. How many has Jeff Bezos killed?
I mean,
well, Waylon went along himself because he wants to go out in a blaze of glory.
All right. This is going to be my first issue with this movie that I'm just going to go ahead and say. It royally fucks up the timeline that they already established in the Alien series. Yeah. Because in the third one, supposedly, the real Bishop shows up at the end.
Right.
Right? To witness Sigourney Weaver jumping into that molten vat to kill the alien queen.
That's right.
So was that another robot? Was that like a great-great-great-grandson or something? Well, what's going on here?
Isn't Bishop based on Wayland, like Lance Henriksen plays? Like, I haven't seen Aliens in probably like 20 years.
They never established that until this movie.
Because since they established this in the movie, maybe Bishop, the robot in Aliens, is like meant to be like a robot replica.
That's what he's saying.
In Alien 3, Bishop shows up again because you see he shows up for one scene where you see the original robot in the junkyard that gets plugged in and brought back to life briefly. And then at the very end of that movie, Lance Henriksen shows back up nominally as the real Bishop.
I was going to say something very stupid and realize I'm already right because this is what it was. This would have made a better X-Files episode because what we need is an actual outside threat. Like, what? He just keeps saying, but there's implications and someone else could be coming.
Oh, fucking hell. This entire movie rips off the third act of the first X-Files movie.
Hey, yeah, someone should be coming. They fire a laser from orbit and go through a mile of ice in about 10 seconds. Everyone on Earth who has a satellite is going to see that.
No one shows up. This is so weird. Like, we're not even going to get there. But at the end of the movie, the protagonist, as you mentioned, ends up on the set of Wild Wild West down to the water tower that Will Smith is naked in. Abandoned in the middle of Antarctica, presumably to die.
Well, she's driving off in the truck. I'm thinking she was going back to the ship.
I thought everyone on the ship was with them on the plate. Like, this movie's so filled with plot holes. If we worry about that, we're never going to get through it.
The ship at least would be warm.
Oh, I took notes on this movie, and it's practically nothing but plot holes.
Yeah. This movie cost $60 million. It made $170 million, so it's a huge success, which is why it got a sequel. I imagine most of that was international.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, we can kind of go through this. There's not a lot to talk about. It's an Alien versus Predator movie.
Here's another thing. I rented it from, I think, Vudu or something, and it's supposed to be a 100-minute movie. It's 87 minutes with 12 minutes of credits tacked on. I think that's the shortest of this entire franchise.
Yeah, that's one reason I liked it. I'm going to offend you by saying I liked it. It was very fast-moving, never boring. I didn't like some of the creative choices they made later, but it was moved along.
I was going to disagree with you a little bit. I'd like that it's short because that means I didn't have to spend a lot of time watching it, though I did feel like at times it was brain death. It's amazing how much nothingness they add to flush out this runtime.
Well, they totally just didn't think anything that they were implying through with this movie. Like the whole pyramid under Antarctica, the whole ancient aliens thing. We'll get into that. I know you're eager to kick us off, Nick.
The whole point, well, we can get through it. I mean, it's a very quick opening. We have the Mission Impossible 2 start where she's climbing a mountain. What's this actress's name? Because she's fine. This is Paul W.S. Anderson, by the way. This is the guy who did Mortal Kombat previous episode.
According to Armand White, better than P.T. Anderson because Armand White's a dumbass.
Her name is Sanaa Lathan. She's also in Love and Basketball, which is what you should see. A better movie. She's also in potential Stay Tuned Contagion. I guess we have a couple days still.
She's also apparently in a movie called Brown Sugar, which I have a feeling I don't want to know about that anything about that movie.
I haven't looked. No idea what it is. I have a guess. Someone saw Jackie Brown and thought we need more of that, but without the talent. I will guarantee. She was also the person who voiced everyone's favorite character, Donna, on the Cleveland Show. That's all it is.
Everyone's favorite, the Cleveland Show.
Yeah, there we go. It's Rick Famuyiwa's movie. The guy who did Talk to Me and Dope. I mean, it's a Taye Diggs movie. It's an African-American rom-com. That's all it is. She's good in this. Her character.
She's not really given much to work with. I mean, for what it is, she's fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, like, she's a low point of this movie.
Well, she's the only sane person in this whole thing. Like, okay, we don't have any training. We're going to go down an ice cave that's a mile long on the most inhospitable continent on Earth. Bad idea. We're going to bring a sickly old man with us. Bad idea.
Here's why I disagree, Matt. It doesn't matter. She was wrong about everything. Because does their inexperience harm them in any way? No.
Well,
does the old man harm them in any way? No.
Well, they at one point all fall down the tunnel. If she weren't there, he would have been splattered all over the bottom.
Who?
Lance Henriksen?
That wouldn't have changed anything about the mission. But, I mean, you're right. But he's the one person who she can't say no to because he's the boss. So he literally would not have affected anything. Anyway, we can introduce the whole cast because none of them matter except for one guy, Raoul Bova, who is Professor Sebastian De Rosa.
Oh, whisper that some more.
I know, right? There's another one, a guy named Ewan Bremmer, who is Dr. Graham Miller, who is the chemical engineer who doesn't matter. He's the one who's taking pictures for his kids.
Always a bad sign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you establish that they have children back home, they're going to die. There's a guy named Colin Salmon, who plays Maxwell Stanford. He's the black guy who's the British military officer.
Right, yeah. Oh.
He was okay.
I saw him in this one other movie that I can't remember the title to, where it's essentially a movie about these seven people are at a job interview where they get trapped in a room, and it's supposedly a giant puzzle, and whoever solves it gets the engineering job.
The Resident Evil film series.
Who played White Vasquez, the blonde girl with the short hair?
Oh, the one who played Rousseau, right? Adele Rousseau.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Agatha Laboulie. She's French. This is the only thing I've seen her in.
Also, wasn't that Colin Salomon guy in some of the Bond movies?
Yeah, he's the M's like assistant.
Yes.
Yep. And he's very good. I mean, that's the problem. Lance Henriksen, of course, great actor. He's kind of like one of my favorite B-movie actors. And guess what? He's fine in this. He really is fine. Hey, you want to play a guy who's dying? Well, I need a new fridge. You know, like that's him. And he is in Aliens 2 and Aliens 3. And he is, I mean, he's fine. I have nothing against him.
The movie I was talking about, though, by the way, was called Exam, which better than Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, and then everyone else literally doesn't matter. There's like Dead Meat's Mark, a guy with a Dutch name. Rustin Quinn, he's the head of the drilling team. He dies. Joe Connors, he dies. Everyone dies. Like, there's no point to any of these characters. They even have a second archaeologist, so someone else can talk about the hieroglyphs.
Quick question about this whole expedition team.
Sure.
This is supposed to be a research where apparently Wayland's discovered this ancient pyramid that's buried under 2,000 feet of ice in Antarctica. Right?
Yep.
So there's a hole there. They're going to go there and see what the pyramid is.
Yep.
Why the hell would you bring automatic weapons along with you?
Sounds like a cinema sin.
Or something, or again, maybe some clue Wayland is aware of something that they're not sharing.
They never explain that, though.
Again, what would make more sense is if they're going to call him Wayland, if Yutani's people were on their way.
I'm 99% sure Yutani shows up in this.
Yeah, the second one.
At the end of Requiem, they have a Predator gun.
But I mean, again, that would be more interesting if they have to get there quickly because they're afraid that they're going to have other people coming, which is alluded to, but no one gives a shit. The whole thing about,
okay, this movie completely fell apart when, for me at least, during that opening bit when they're assembling the team and Wayland's briefing them basically on this pyramid under the Antarctic ice, which, you know what? If that's where you want your setting to be, fine. It's utterly ruined because nothing about what they're implying would actually work.
Right.
For example, there's a line there about what it is, and they're like, ancient maps show Antarctica with no ice. Okay, one, they don't.
They do not. Absolutely do not.
Two, ancient maps also showed sea monsters on them with no irony.
Right.
There was a whole lot of guesswork, and there was a whole lot of people just making shit up.
Yeah, plus the time when Antarctica had no ice was, as you pointed out, before humans.
Exactly.
Millions of years ago.
Number two, the dialogue and the script in this movie is utter crap.
Yep.
For example, one of the other lines that they say when they first see the pyramid, somebody says, the first pyramid ever built. Built by who? By the first civilization. Yeah, no shit, that's who built it. You want to give us some more specific information there, Howard Carter?
Yep, there's nothing to this. You're Ooh, angry.
You sound mad.
I'm very mad about this movie.
Jeez, you sound like I was in episode 3.
There you go.
You were very mad there, too. I don't care because it's a movie. But
that's why you're sane.
That's why I'm the host. But, I mean, we can go through this. The team is assembled, right? We pull Lex off the mountaintop, right? Mm-hmm. And then we get to Jurassic Park, where the rich billionaire is showing him pictures like, we're building a G-Rex. And they look at the map, and we see a 3D rendering on their little iPads, which are encased in, like, steel.
Why wasn't it just like a crashed spaceship or something?
Why isn't it anything? This is where it gets really stupid. For example, we're going to find out that they come every 100 years. And now it's 2004 because the movie came out in 2004. The last time they came was in 1904, right? Which is why the ancient pyramid, which has bits of Egyptian, Aztec, what was it?
Cambodian.
Cambodian and Indian, like Hindu, referred to the date 1904, which yes. is a date after Christ. So, you know, that's a problem.
Oh. We're jumping ahead here, but part of the whole thing about the pyramid is after it's activated and then the predators... Well, excuse me, the archaeological team...
This. Stay on target.
Stay on target.
Find the predator guns and take them from the sarcophagus. The pyramid starts shifting, and the one guy's like, I think I've calculated it. The pyramid changes shape every 10 minutes. Number one. The concept of the minute does not exist ever. That far back.
Nope.
Not until really the Industrial Revolution.
Correct.
Well, I think the Mesopotamians had 60-minute, had a base 60 number system.
Okay.
Well,
but
how would they know about that? And, I mean, even then, that base measurement is still relatively new.
Calm yourself, Dan.
It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
Well, again, I think we agree the Ancient Aliens plot was kind of lame for probably somewhat different reasons.
That isn't even the worst part of that, but we'll get there.
All right. So they're in this... Well, they're in this warehouse where they're filming all this. They've announced that they found a giant pyramid, and there's a weird bloom happening, which doesn't make sense because he then lets us know that it's 2,000 feet underground, which means that they should be suspicious of something anyway, but they're not. This crew is gathered together. Rousseau has a handgun, which offends Lex because you shouldn't need a handgun in the Antarctic, and she goes, I'd like having it because I need it like a condom. And then everyone looks sexily at each other for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
At this point, it goes from being Jurassic Park to Lost World, which means it shouldn't have been made anyway. They arrive in Antarctica. I mean, we have this weird dialogue where everyone's kind of charmingly flirting, and it's all a waste of time.
They arrive at this outpost from 1904, like they said, that's been abandoned, apparently. And there are some outposts like that in Antarctica, so
sure.
Fine. I don't know. It never really feels like they explore everything that they could have with that whole Antarctic setting.
The plot is unnecessary. The problem is, Predator is a very different movie from Alien. Alien is a slow burn sci-fi horror movie. Predator, it's an action movie. They just stumble across the wrong plot, right? They're there to kill Colombians, and then all of a sudden they go from fighting terrorists to fighting a monster man. It never stops being an action movie,
right.
Not for a second. And so the first half hour feels like it's out of a Mission Impossible movie. Fine, it's the Alien part of the movie. The second part becomes Indiana Jones / Jurassic Park, and then the third part becomes a really, really bad Predator movie.
Well, it also becomes kind of a really bad Jurassic Park movie with the Alien Queen.
Which is literally the scene from, I believe they ripped this off in Jurassic World when they're running away from Indominus Rex. What's her name? Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yes.
Bryce Dallas Howard is running in heels down that alleyway trying to get the T-Rex to attack Indominus Rex. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
At least they didn't have the Predator in his little recorded voice saying, must go faster.
Well, here's the other thing about this movie. We know what the aliens are. We know what the Predators are. There's no suspense in trying to build them up.
Yeah, I posted on Twitter about this when I was watching it. This movie could be called Dramatic Irony, the movie, when the viewer knows what the characters don't. So you see iconography on the walls showing the xenomorph heads. You see the statues of predators that are spears.
No.
And everyone's and these people are like, oh. Blah, 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 blah. Everyone's like, oh, no, this is not going to go well.
Well, here's the thing. I don't disagree with you, Matt. The problem is we should have someone who does know. Because that's interesting, right? Like, it'd be great if one of the two archaeologists was an ancient alien theorist.
And he was afraid to show it. And then all of a sudden it happened. Because otherwise, this is all stupid. This is what I'm talking about. This is wasted time.
Yeah.
If you want to make it an action movie, make it an action movie. They don't need to prattle on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
So this is an 87-minute movie, and we don't see the first Predator kill until about half an hour in.
I'll fix your movie for you in 10 minutes. The Bloom is a stupid idea.
Yeah.
Because it makes no sense. There's a power source. Then the power source, whatever. It's all stupid. What if there's something radioactive in the guns that they detect, but shouldn't be there? Then that's all you need. You don't need anything else. And then there's a reason to send a military. You don't need these scientists who don't add anything. But
non-union Mexican equivalent Antonio Banderas does know some stuff.
Yeah, but he's a useless character. Or maybe he's the one guy. You have Ian Malcolm, and then everyone else is Muldoon. Still fine. But the thing is, like, hell, make it global warming. The ice sheet melted, and now we can see this thing for the first time ever. Ooh, you don't need that 45 minutes. It's a waste. We should get to some of this action, though. All of a sudden, they end up in Labyrinth. Like, I don't...
Okay, so they actually get into the pyramid, and they come across this thing that they call the sacrificial chamber, which is a bunch of mummified human remains, kind of like the space jockey sort of thing in the first Alien movie.
Right.
Where they've all obviously given birth to chest bursters. Although, again, in terms of just how loose this movie's playing with history, they say it's a sacrificial chamber like the Aztecs and the Egyptians. Egyptians didn't perform human sacrifice.
They did not, and the Aztecs did it in public, so the blood ran down the stairs, so you
yes.
could bathe in it. Kids could splash and play, and you could eat the hearts.
Basically.
Yep.
Also, the Aztecs aren't that old.
Also, if the last time this happened was in 1904, why are these people wearing A, traditional garb, and B, who did it?
Also, if this is supposed to be a ritual that takes place every 100 years, what did the predators do during that, 2,000 years or so where humans couldn't get to Antarctica?
Yeah, I mean, the 1804, 1704, what, they go hunt some polar bears? But that's in the Arctic. There's no bears in Antarctica.
There's penguins.
And there should be penguin skeletons everywhere.
They did have that one jump scare with the penguin when they first get to that outpost.
Jump scare is a very generous term for what that was.
That the train spotting guy starts freaking out, and yeah. It's revealed that whatever was causing the noise that was freaking him out was a penguin.
Yes, right. So, I mean, that's what it is. We go from 1904 weird weather station, or whaling station, excuse me, down the tube into a giant pyramid, and we enter a soundstage, which is clearly very warm because everyone's sweating immediately, and they, you know, climb these stairs. We go into a chamber, and this asshole, this Italian guy, can just read hieroglyphics as though it's English. They wrote perfect English.
Also, there's a scene in there where it shows the alien queen who's, like, encased in ice and shackled.
And she starts to melt and thaw and cry.
Yeah, and they use very human-looking chains instead of something looks more alien. I mean, this thing was built by the Predators.
Well, they never really explain how that works.
I mean, even if it was built by humans using Predator oversight, you'd think it would still look like some sort of alien chains, not obvious human-manufactured ones.
Well, actually, that's actually true. I don't know if it is explained. So we're told that the aliens are, well, the xenomorphs, let's use the right word. Xenomorphs are hunting targets for predators. And when they kill an alien xenomorph in this way, they earn their relic, right? They earn their scar that gives them their name.
It's like a manhood right.
Which, fine. That works. It's handled badly, but that's a fine idea.
That's a fine
idea.
How
to combine the two.
I don't know why it has to be here, though. I don't know why it's on Earth. I don't know why it's ancient aliens. It would be just as fine and okay and fine if it was the year 2300 and they come across a weird planet where this is happening.
This movie went so badly. Yes, you're right, first and foremost. This shouldn't have been on Earth. It should have been on a different planet. Like, how did the Predators select Earth for this? But they were so trying to be the thing, right?
Yep, 100%.
They could have ripped off more from it. What if this... They only appeared like a century ago in 1904, and the Predators abandoned it and froze all the aliens in there, but they get woken up 100 years later.
What if it was a mistake? The aliens are now on Earth, and they have to clean up their mess, and then it ends with a nuke, like the second one probably does. I haven't seen the second one, but that sounds like a better idea for a movie.
The second one is like Dawson's Creek meets Iraq meets aliens rampaging through Main Street, USA.
Oh, wait, let me guess. It comes out in 07. Is there like an Iraq war veteran? And
yeah.
And so we're already like sick of the war 13 years ago.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So an Iraq vet who knows a lot about how the army would contain aliens. even though you'd think regular guys wouldn't know about this sort of thing.
All right. Well, I guess stay tuned. In whatever, in like July when we get to it.
You have that long to suffer the suspense before it put you out of your misery.
Oh, by the way, I will say this, but I hate it. The Predators have names in Wikipedia.
No.
I was trying to keep track of the plot, so I was doing my standard research of pretending to watch the movie and then looking it up on Wikipedia. It's like a TV trope.
And you mock me for that, but I at least wait till I'm done with the movie before I look up stuff on Wikipedia.
I did. It's literally in front of me now. I didn't look it up while I was watching the movie. That's stupid. Okay, so the three Predators are Scar, Celtic, and Chopper.
I
will repeat that. Scar, Celtic, and Chopper. Can you tell them apart? No.
Scar, because he scarred himself. The other two, who cares?
And by the way, at the end of the movie, there's like six of them.
Yeah.
Elder and Bodyguard 1 through 6?
I guess. I don't know, right? When the final ship arrives looking a lot like the ship from Independence Day. Whatever. This is all stupid. All
right, so they're in the pyramid, and just to skip ahead, they find the sarcophagus with the Predator guns, right? And they're still not sure what they are, which, fine. They remove them, or Wayland has the team try to remove them so they can be analyzed on the surface. And when they do that, the pyramid seals itself because that's supposed to be the start of the hunt. Meanwhile, up at the top, there are a couple people left behind, and the Predators show up and kill them.
You do realize that means they're playing like Predator dodgeball, right? Once you grab the guns, you gotta the game starts. And then all of a sudden, this thing becomes... There's a movie like this. The Cube? What is it? We're like
I
the
think
wall...
you are talking about the Cube.
Yeah, where the wall just starts moving around. Yeah.
Yeah, Cube, which, good Lord, let's talk about that movie.
Or that bit from Brazil.
Or you mentioned Labyrinth. There's some of that, maybe a little bit of that too, just without David Bowie.
That's true. Although
Predator with a crotch bulge.
My goodness, these hieroglyphics speak of an alien, right? Like, if he was the Raul character, better movie. A sexier movie, too.
I'm pretty sure at this point in time, Bowie had just had a triple bypass and had more or less quit.
2004?
Around there, yeah. It was like, I don't know.
He could be the elder Predator, give him blonde hair.
From like the mid-2000s until like 2014, he had basically disappeared.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's not like anyone was trying in this movie.
Yeah.
Except for, I'll give Lex Lathan character some credit. She was fine.
So after the game starts, the queen gets unfrozen and immediately starts laying eggs, and the eggs get deposited into the sacrificial chamber, which there's still two people there, and this is where they fuck up again, because the facehuggers do what facehuggers do, and then, like, it's a jump cut, and then seemingly, like, just half an hour later, that one character is giving birth to a chestburster. That's not...
Yeah.
We've seen how that timeline
works.
Yeah,
an alien, didn't it take a day or more?
They never specify, but it's at least multiple hours.
Better movie. Again, the thing is, this movie jumps from way too much exposition to not explaining anything. When it doesn't explain anything, it's better because, like Matt said, it's dramatic irony of the movie. What it would be great is if it did the old thing, right? Where we're not exactly sure what's happening. We don't. I don't know. These people were attacked by a weird monster thing. We better get them home. So we bring them up to the ship. They're on the ship, and then the Predators come down and destroy the ship so that these things can't get off the island. And the whole rest of the movie, we're trying to figure out why. That's something, right? But the thing is, we don't get any... like, because it's like at the end of Jurassic Park where the raptors are on the boat and they're trying to make sure that the boat doesn't go back to the mainland. That's interesting. That's something. This movie has nothing. It could have had something, but instead it went with nothing.
Well, here's how much time this movie wastes. The first actual fight between the Predators and the Xenomorphs, about 53 minutes in.
You don't need to explain the Predators. We don't have to have a suiting up. This is stupid because, you know, they thought, what if the Predator suited up the way that Arnold suits up in Commando? Because there's a scene where they're just like, dun, 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 and they're strapping on shit. He picks out the helmet from the row. When your movie is titled Alien versus Predator, and there's two Predator movies and four Alien movies, we know what these things are. You don't need to set any of them up. You don't need to establish a damn thing. It's not like someone's like, well, mother, this Alien versus Predator movie looks pretty sharp. Let's just go see it. No, no, you're not. This is stupid. All of it is stupid. They're not gods. That montage, my God, out of a bad Age of Empires cutscene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good Lord. Are we going to skip ahead to that?
What else did you want to talk about?
Well, we see the aliens, I mean, how dangerous they are even to predators. Like, the one of the grid that gets burned into it kills two of the predators. At one point, they even cut off its tail and starts scorpion stabbing them with acid
blood.
Yeah,
but there's other times where they cut through the aliens' heads and there's no blood and no acid. And there should be, like, there's a scene where a facehugger jumps out and a predator throws one of those discs at it. Disc goes right through him. Shouldn't it have melted?
Also, they forget that acid burns constantly. Two notes. First, facehugger's much more vaginal this time. Second note, super important second other note. Oh, God, it fucking left my head.
Well, at one point, the British guy is in a cocoon, and he managed to get a gun and shoots a facehugger in midair. That was cool.
We're talking about the train spotter, train spotting dude. Yeah,
and he's already stuck to the wall.
Yeah.
And he's pulls out the gun out of Rousseau's corpse and then shoots it. And that's pretty good.
And that thing is, there's like 20 more of them. So he's like, starts unloading all of it.
Yeah, he dies.
He dies. Everyone dies.
This is a PG-13 movie, by the way, for a franchise that was very famously rated R.
I remember what was stupid. They've been doing this for presumably millennia, right? This is the earliest civilization. It's been there forever. How is it that the predators forget about the acid blood? Right?
At one point, eventually,
they figure out that, hey, if we use the carapace as a shield, it's not going to melt through the armor. They seem to keep forgetting that. I don't know, like, for things, apparently it's their manhood right. So, presumably, everyone just goes down to the rodeo and rounds up a couple xenomorphs
They don't forget about the acid blood because that's what they use to put that symbol after they kill an alien on their helmet.
This movie is so stupid. Also, if that's the case, why are there humans at all?
How did the predators figure out that humanity existed and that they were the perfect incubators for aliens?
How did anything? How did anything?
Sailing around, maybe. Look, it's some planet of barely sapient rednecks. Let's see what happens.
Hey, Jim, what happens if it fucks this thing? Well, that's a cow thing. That's okay. How about this? Well, that's a half fishman. And the shape of water was born. I mean, yeah, so I guess what we're used to then is mostly human-based xenomorphs, since it looks like the xenomorphs we've seen before.
Now, there's that really stupid montage that we mentioned earlier.
Wait. There's a stupid montage?
Yes. Well, it's that whole thing where they're trying to explain the ritual, which how that one sexy Antonio Banderas guy figured it out, never explained.
Yeah, they have the entirety of the story of the predators helping establish human civilization on the wall of the temple, including how it ended when the aliens got out of control and ate them, and they set off a nuke.
Why would they need to carve that on the wall? Who cares?
And by the by, this pissed me off. Okay, so it says that the language looks a little bit like Cambodian, Aztec, and Egyptian. And we can get over the fact that we really don't understand how Egyptian or Aztec works, and there's like 6 versions of Egyptian and 3 of Cambodian. Let's say you're an expert in one of them. And it's a combination of things. I'm an expert in English. That does not mean I can read Latin, which are mostly the same characters. And if I saw Phoenician, I couldn't read that either. And then imagine if every third character was a different language. And then you realize this is bullshit. And the thing about bullshit is it didn't need to be in this movie to begin with. And the fact that it's here makes it bullshit. You can edit this out and it's a better movie. And the fact of the matter is it starts with him turning the cranks of a sarcophagus to make it so it's 2004 in a sarcophagus that's been there for 3,000 years at least, presumably tens of thousands of years old.
Well, also during that montage, it's supposedly taking place in like a Mesoamerican culture, which wouldn't have existed 5,000 years ago.
And here's the problem with all of this. I don't give a shit if the movie is entertaining. This is the most boring action horror movie I may have ever seen. This belongs, cut off $50 million of its budget, make it sci-fi, and at least then it's stupid.
Can we just, you can probably guess what happens during this movie. Everyone except the main character dies. Wayland gets killed by a predator because at first they don't want to kill him because
he
has cancer.
Yeah.
But then he shoots at them and there you go. They'll defend themselves. And so everybody eventually dies except Lex, right?
And then they form an uneasy alliance with the Predators.
Yeah.
Because she gave it its gun back.
Yes.
And if I recall correctly, I have to say this because this is his full name, Professor Sebastian DeRosa goes, ah, yes, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Well, this is after that scene where the pyramid's changing and he almost gets crushed during the hallway, which that was the one good moment in this movie.
Yeah, that was mildly suspenseful. Yes. Is he going to get smushed or not?
That is actual danger.
There's actual stakes there.
Right. If an alien sneaks up behind them and you see the alien in its CGI terribleness and it just kills them, that's not scary. Alien worked, the first one we saw, join Patreon, listen. It's great because you never see anything until it's dangling off the back of a ship, which is stupid. But here, it's just like, well, we're here. Let's. I guess we're doing this.
The other big thing about it is all of the interesting things they try to do are just callbacks to the original movie. Like that scene where Lex has to kill Dr. Sebastian, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah.
That's that deleted scene in Alien with Ripley killing Dallas.
That's right.
It's the exact same scene.
And in the end, of course, it doesn't matter because the chestburster already comes out anyway and the Predator kills it, which is because it's like he's like, she's going to kill it. I got to see. She did it. Hey, look, she did it. Hey, my friend.
Boy. Yay, the toddler signed her name.
That's right. That's exactly what it is.
So Lex ends up the only survivor. And like Nick said, there's an uneasy alliance between her and one of the last Predators that's still alive.
Scar.
Right. And
who has been infested in a scene we don't actually see.
A lot of that happens off camera, which, to be honest, I can't think of a scene where it's like, you know what really would improve this? More gore. I really can't.
This movie is stupid. You're fine.
Yeah. Well, they make Lex a shield out of the alien's head and a spear out of its tail. There's that scene where the Predator burns the same mark that he's got on her cheek after she helps kill the queen.
She kills one of the lesser xenomorphs with the spear.
Right.
And that's when she gets her hunter mark.
Correct. And sorry, I'm jumping ahead about the queen coming out from under the ice.
Oh, yeah. She was smart enough to summon all the minions to cut her out of the chains.
And can survive a nuclear blast.
It also establishes at the beginning that she can survive being frozen for a long time. So the way they dispatch her is they essentially hook her to a weight and she gets dragged under the ice and into the water. We've already established she can live through that.
Yeah, so somewhere at the bottom of the Antarctic Ocean, there's a very evil-looking popsicle just waiting to defrost.
Well, and the thing is that we don't know is how she got out in the first place. Is it just that it's 100 years and it starts? It seemed like the 100 years thing only mattered because he turned the gears. So, again, it's just stupid. It's all stupid.
The whole thing with the alien queen, she comes out and it's pretty much the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. And even the Predator has that moment where it's taken off its mask and it looks at the queen and starts screaming, I guess.
Yeah.
She's speared him to the ground and shoves her big old head in his face. He just snarls right back at her. You know, homeboy's not going down.
Well, there's scenes of the queen just tearing through that 1904 outpost and destroying a lot of it. And then, like I said, eventually they corner it and at first, I think it's one of those things where Lex gets knocked away and presumed dead, but comes back.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. Like, I have all these notes from the movie. I rewatched when I watched it. There were just times when my jaw dropped, and I guess we can get to the end here in a second, but none of this matters. You know what we should do at the end of this when we do the second one? The movie we pair that month needs to be Freddy versus Jason, on which is the worst meetup movie.
Well, it's not going to be Freddy versus Jason because that was at least, it had a sense of irony about it.
Freddy versus Jason was hilarious.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I get the feeling because that's what this is, right? This comes out after it. This is 2004. I think Freddy versus Jason is
2003.
Oh, yeah, literally the year before.
Yeah, that was the first movie I saw in college. We had a bunch of people in my dad's car and he drove up to the Athens movie theater to watch Freddy versus Jason.
I get it. Like, this is a perfect Friday or Saturday night in college. You get a bunch of beer and you watch this. Like, that's what that is. That's the movie.
They're taking it way too seriously.
Well, and the thing is, I guess this is our time to wrap it up. We've talked about this movie enough, and if I don't get Daniel some food, he's gonna start punching. But the thing about Predator, it's a stupid movie, but it's deadly serious. The Alien movies are all deadly serious. Freddy versus Jason, You cannot tell me a single Friday the 13th movie is a serious movie. Maybe the first one. But Nightmare on Elm Street, maybe the first one. But they get progressively sillier. So if you make a crossover, it's literally like, I don't know, it's Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein. It's stupid. And that's fine. None of this is stupid. Yet this movie becomes the dumbest thing they've ever done.
Let's talk about the very last moment and how this film ends. Matt kind of touched on it earlier.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you mean?
Oh, yeah, with the whole Lex has to communicate with the Predator ship with that keyboard.
Do, 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 do.
There's a face hugger that I think latches onto Scar. Or was it different? Okay, it's Scar. Okay. So it latches onto Scar. We don't see it, and eventually we see Scar again, and he's seemingly okay. But during that fight with the Alien Queen, Scar ends up dying.
Right.
And the Predators come to retrieve Scar's body and take it back into their ship. So we see Scar laid out on this funeral slab, basically, and then we start getting the chestburster moments, and then a chestburster comes out that's got the Predator mandibles, and it screams, and that's the end of the movie.
Dun, 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 dun.
No.
First of all, no, for it's stupid, but B, there's seven Predators in that scene. Just kill the fucker. It's stupid. It's like, and you're just like crush it. Especially since Scar killed a chestburster just by breaking its neck.
Yes.
It's not a thing, right? It's all stupid.
I thought they'd all left the body alone, which is stupid.
They did, but wouldn't they, you're right, Matt. Wouldn't they have checked for that?
Yeah, they've been playing around with these xenomorphs for their hunting games for thousands of years. You'd think they'd be aware of the possibility.
And Scar saw it inside the person with just its mask.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
Earlier? I mean, this is plot hole the musical. Final judgment. Hey, Daniel, did you like this movie?
Oh, why? I mean, it's one of the most invigorating cinema experiences I've ever had. No, fuck off.
That sums
mad.
It up.
I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, you summed it up right there. That's all you need, man. I mean, I'll expect your dissertation on this later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Matt, is this going to be a how I would have done it?
I have some more important things with my time right now. It's entertaining until you really start to think about it. And as Daniel pointed out repeatedly, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't really make a lot of sense. But it's fun to watch once.
See it. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It's bad. It's remarkably bad. And the fact that someone said, hey, $60 million, now you've got a movie, baffles me. But it is the dumbest thing I think I've ever done for this show. Like, and I'm sure I've said that before, but this is truly remarkably stupid. Like, I was drinking this with, like, just my water bottle. I wasn't drunk. No. If you're someone who partakes in consumables, do it. It'll only improve this. Because you're like, whoa, Ancient Alien. No, dude, there's nothing to this. This is the wettest fart of a movie we've ever done. But my God, at the end of the stupidity, there's nothing. It's you've got to see this. Now,
buy a 10-year-old action, a Predator action figure and an Alien action figure. Watch them make up their own Alien versus Predator story, and I guarantee it's going
to
be better than
this
one.
Or just read the books and the comics. There are a lot of them. I used to read a bunch of them.
Or play the video games. I know there's a couple of those.
Alien versus Predator video game is pretty good. Or is that Alien Covenant? No, it's called Alien Covenant, but not related to the movie. That's really good.
Well, there's a lot. I remember arcade games, Alien versus Predator, and the Jaguar Alien versus Predator looked really cool.
I never played it. Did you?
No, I just saw it in video game magazines.
Gotcha. So, again, this was all to plug the Patreon with Here Be Tigers. So, look it up. We're there. We're on Patreon. You know, we get a little bit of it. So, do it. Then, second, tune in 2 weeks. We'll do another movie. Do you want to tell them? We can tell them. It's a Rush Hour. We're doing Rush Hour to round out this month. And March, we're still working on. So, we'll let you know. By the end of Rush Hour, you should know a little bit more about March. But Alien came out, which means Aliens is next on the Patreon, followed by Aliens to the Power of Three. And
Alien Cube.
And then Alien Resurrection. And then I Will Be Sad. So stay tuned every other week as we put more of your past on trial. Thanks, guys. We'll be right back.
Garbage from Your Childhood is a product of Blue Letter Podcast. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced by Nick Hoffman, Daniel Sutters, and Matthew Quinn, and edited by Daniel Sutters. Our theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin McLeod from incomptech.com, licensed under Creative Commons license by Attribution 3.0 license.